Australia's role in the potentially illegal detention of prisoners of war at secret prisons in Iraq is again under the spotlight. According to some Fairfax newspapers, the Guardian newspaper in London yesterday quoted a US field inquiry report which claims that an Australian SAS squadron of 150 soldiers operating in Iraq in 2003, together with a British Special Forces unit, were, quote, an integral part of the operation of a secret prison known as H1. The Public Interest Advocacy Centre has, for the past 6 years, been investigating Australia's role in illegal detention and secret prisons in both Iraq and Afghanistan. The Chief Executive, Edward Santow, is in his office in Sydney. Edward, good morning again. Welcome to breakfast.
Good morning.
Edward, what's the latest allegation based on a US field inquiry report? What is the report saying?
Well, it shows that Australia, the Australian military, played an integral part of operations at a secret prison known as H1. Now, this is significant because the Australian government has always maintained it had no involvement in secret prisons. And if the official US report is true, then it's deeply troubling.
The report, well, so far we don't know what it says beyond that, that it played an integral part of H1's operations. We don't know what that means. But we do know this all refers to the fact that SAS soldiers arrested 63 Iraqis and Syrians in April 2003, and one of those Iraqi men later died. We knew that last July.
Yeah, that's correct. So we were able to determine in a long battle over freedom of information with the Department of Defence that this incident occurred and that there was significant Australian involvement in the incident. What the Australian military has maintained through a legal fiction was that even though there was a very large contingent of Australian troops that detained, that captured these combatants in Iraq, or alleged combatants in Iraq, that because there was just one US soldier present, that we, as a question of law, didn't bear any responsibility for their detention and then their treatment.
Well, isn't the argument between those like yourself and the Public Interest Advocacy Centre and the Department of Defence and the government, it's over the definition of what's significant or integral involvement, because Defence says that Australia was not the detaining power during operations in Iraq. It was not responsible for the transfer of detention of any detainees. What it was the SAS captured this person and handed them over to, I thought, British soldiers.
I think it actually goes further than that. There's a suggestion that there was very strong US involvement at H1 as well. But what we have to understand is that secret prisons operate outside the fundamental law that applies in wartime. They don't allow prisoners to be formally registered. They don't allow visits by the International Committee of the Red Cross. And so we can't be confident that prisoners are treated humanely there. If Australia has any involvement with putting combatants in a position where they're held in a secret prison, and we're aware that it is a secret prison, then there's no question that we bear significant legal as well as, of course, moral responsibility for what happens to them.
So the question is whether the SAS soldiers who detained these people knew they were handing them over to be sent to this secret prison, this H1 prison. Now, Defence is quoted in the Sydney Morning Herald today when asked whether, quote, Australian troops ever sent prisoners or detained prisoners to H1, Defence response was no.
That's correct. And we have documents that we obtained in 2010 that clearly point otherwise. They say very clearly that Australian troops took these combatants to, or these alleged combatants, to H1. What has not been clear until now is what was the significance of H1, indeed, that it is allegedly a secret prison or a black site.
Before I want to get to that evidence in particular, but can we just diverge from moment to talk about H1. What exactly is H1 prison? Who ran it? Who got sent there? How long was it operating? And who knew about it?
Well, many of those details remain murky, but by very definition, a secret prison is very difficult to get details about. What we have determined is it's very likely that the United States and the United Kingdom were involved with H1. There's also now this suggestion that Australia played a quite integral part in operations there, but beyond that, we simply don't know. What we do know from the revelations that occurred in the media around the time of Abu Ghraib is that the secret prisons generally were the place where combatants were not treated humanely, where prisoners were held contrary to the Geneva Conventions, and indeed where mistreatment and sometimes even torture occurred.
Beyond this comment in this US field report that SAS soldiers were integral. What is the evidence that you've received from the documents you've managed to get from Defence, which you say says proves that the SAS soldiers, the Australian soldiers, knew they were handing prisoners to a secret prison?
So we have two documents, but both of which were originally classified, and when we obtained them under Freedom of Information, they were then declassified, and they're up on our website. And they say very clearly that Australia played a role in handing over to UK forces at the H1 centre these 66 detainees.
So it mentions the H1 centre?
It does, by name in two different places.
And it's impossible to suggest that no one knew what the H1 centre was, that it was a secret prison, according to you, in your view?
Well, we simply don't know the answer to that question. The Department of Defence is starting to give quite inconsistent responses now to inquiries from the media. I think what this shows is that despite Defence denials, it's becoming increasingly clear that Australia has some complicity in the breaches of international law of war. And so that's, in our view, why we need to be much more transparent and have a Royal Commission to get to the bottom of these allegations.
So I think it's worth pointing out that in this article in the Fairfax newspapers, it says, according to sources who spoke to The Guardian, interrogations at the site were carried out by the CIA and the MI6. So there's no suggestion that Australian soldiers were involved at that point. It is limited, as far as we can tell, to the transfer. And the question is whether it was knowing transfer or not to a secret prison. Is that an ameliorating factor in your view? I mean, some people might think that's not such a, not such a problem, doesn't deserve a Royal Commission.
Well, I mean, we've seen secret renditions across the world where the US in particular has sort of transferred prisoners to a particular place where they were then tortured and very badly mistreated, to simply shut your eyes to the possible mistreatment and torture of people, be they innocent or otherwise, is simply unacceptable. And there's also an element of hypocrisy in this. Australia said very, very clearly at the outset of the conflict that, unlike the United States, we would abide by the Geneva Conventions and we would also abide by international humanitarian law. To make those statements very plainly, very clearly, and in a very principled way, and then to undermine those statements by having this legal fiction where we claimed we never detained anyone in Iraq, and to allegedly transfer people and perhaps hold people at a secret detention facility, that I think really undermines our credibility, and even worse than that, I think it puts troops at risk, because if our enemies feel that we're not going to abide by the basic fundamental rules of law and in wartime, then I think our own troops are at risk.
And we have troops, of course, in the field in Afghanistan. Are you concerned that raising this like this and a Royal Commission might make things dangerous for the troops there?
No, I think quite the opposite. I think our troops are incredibly brave. They're given a very, very difficult task to do. They need to be properly supported by the Defence Force establishment, so that they're given proper training, so they're given proper instructions, so that they abide by the fundamental laws of war. That I think, is what the vast majority of soldiers in the field want to do. And unless they do so, then they're putting themselves at risk.
Is there a concern, or is there a thought that there are these secret prisons operating in Afghanistan?
We simply don't know the answer to that question. There are reports from time to time, informal reports, of mistreatment in detention facilities run by the Afghan authorities and by others. But the problem is that if there isn't even a kind of low level of transparency, then we just simply can't be confident that the laws of war are being complied with.
Edward, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Edward Santo is the Chief Executive of the Public Interest Advocacy Centre. And in a statement from Defence that was given to AM this morning, it says, Defence says that throughout the campaign in Iraq, ADF personnel consistently acted in accordance with international and Australian domestic law on detainee issues. Following allegations of abuse by coalition or Iraqi forces, Defence says it conducted an extensive examination of its files and procedures. This review revealed no ADF mistreatment of detainees, and the outcomes of the review were reported to the Senate in June 2004. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 8:26.